Today on The Balanced Word, we take a look at what the Bible has to say about the consumption of alcohol.
You got to think about why you do what you do. Don't think you can't do it because somebody says so, but ask yourself, would this really be a positive thing in my life? And if you can do it in moderation and it adds a richness to your fellowship or to your own personal health or whatever it is, okay, but at least just ask the question, do I need to do this? If you want to know whether you are enslaved to alcohol, just give it up for a month. And if you can handle that okay, and you're not like craving it, you're not like just sitting there fast forwarding through the TV shows so you can watch the beer commercials, but you're just, just like, no, it's okay. Yeah, I miss it, but it's not a big deal. I did okay.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. Instrument I play, wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
Maybe you've wondered, is it really a good idea to have a drink of alcohol at the ball game or at dinner? Is it a sin to drink? Or where do we draw the line? Today, Pastor Dave Rolfe will encourage us to live life in a balanced way. Whether you're talking about alcohol, prescription drugs, or caffeine, we can easily take it too far, and it can destroy us. So join us for The Balanced Word as we take a look into this whole realm of addictions and how to arrive at a balanced way of life that honors God. First, Pastor Dave recalls this story from years gone by.
My son, Will, was like 6 years old or something, and one of his teachers at school came to me and said, hey, Dave, I just thought I'd mentioned to you that we were going through them. There was a scripture that we were teaching on about alcohol, and your son Will said that you one time gave him your beer for him to drink. And I'm like, he's never seen me even drink a Coke, much less a beer. And so he came home and I beat the no, I didn't. He came home and I go, hey, Will. He's sitting on my lap. I go, did you tell the people in your class that I gave you a drink of my beer? And I go, have you ever seen me with a beer? And he goes, I thought I did. I don't know. That's something he must have seen on a TV show or something. But for them, it was like scandalous that, oh, man, Pastor Dave drinking beer. But there's a reason for why there is that, because we've all seen people who overdo it. And we know that that certainly affects your ability to help others and to lead them. But in that second section, you know, where he says, give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. It sort of at least implies that there's a place, there's a point, certainly to use it in a medicinal way, that it may be less severe than a lot of other choices that you have. And even somebody who's like severely depressed, for the most part, drinking doesn't help your depression. But I get why people sometimes will fall into that. I'd rather have somebody get drunk and pass out than to go shoot themselves if they're that low. But also, when somebody's like dying, you wouldn't want to tell, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. I remember when my wife's dad, Elwin, was just on the verge of death. And they sent somebody into his room at the hospital to lecture him on how he needed to cut down on his salt intake. He's like a day away from dying, and he thinks he can't have popcorn, you know? Certainly, there are times when, I mean, and I've had friends who, the only way they survived as long as they did was because of the influence of morphine or, you know, something like that, medicinal value, and if alcohol was in that place. But his point of saying this is basically, when you indulge in excessive alcohol, what you are saying is, I'm done. My life is over. I'm just waiting to die. So give it to me. Now, I understand, and I want to be sensitive. There may be people who are listening to me right now who feel that way. It's like, it's all I have left. There's nothing. There's no hope. And I'm so sorry that you believe that lie. It isn't true at all. But even what Solomon's mom is telling him is, this is something for people who have given up. This is something for people who are quitting. This isn't something that get drunk tonight, feel better tomorrow, and then you can get through another day. No, there are better ways for you to deal with your pain in general than this. When you continue to drink, you get past that third or fourth drink or whatever, you're giving up. And Solomon's mom would just go, yeah, that's not you. That's not for a king to give up that way. Now, to a great extent, you know, you have to go, what benefit does alcohol have besides possible? Like, for instance, there are tests that I saw this week that read about that say that if you have one glass of wine with dinner, it'll actually help you sleep later. But if you drink after dinner, it'll keep you awake. If you have two glasses of wine at dinner, it will keep you awake. It's a fine line there. And so, again, you know, to consider that. But ultimately, the reason wine is such a temptation, the reason it's something that we so get into is it's artificial fun. It's artificial therapy. It's artificial joy. See, the Bible says, and Paul talks about this in Ephesians, he says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he describes what it is to be filled with the Spirit. And it sounds like somebody who's drunk at a party, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It's like when you're filled with the Spirit, you're infused with joy. You're enjoying the people around you. You're encouraging them. You're coming out of your shell. Well, if you choose not to get that by being filled with the Spirit, then you end up having to get that in artificial means. And the truth is, frankly, of all the Christian people that I know, and I know a lot of them, man, there are a bunch of them that make being a Christian look like such a drag. In fact, there are people who think, well, being a Christian should make you very sober-minded. It should make you very serious. Come on, don't you know? People around you are going to hell. You need to feel bad about that. But the truth is, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and ultimately self-control, which really comes into play here. But the thing is, if people haven't discovered what the joyful, Spirit-filled life can really be, if we stuff that, if we discourage that, if we go, you're acting like you're drunk. Hey, I'd rather act like I'm drunk and not be drunk than to act like I'm dead and not be dead, okay? Being filled with the Spirit is allowing that freedom of expression and feeling truly loved and set free. And I think that when we go for an artificial way of doing that, like, I'm such a negative person that I'm no fun at all, but I get really fun after a couple drinks. You're using a substance to substitute for something that the Spirit of God wants to put in your life when you understand how amazing it is to be forgiven. The Apostle Paul was not legalistic at all. And if we didn't have Paul's writings, chances are we would end up being legalistic completely. But he battled against that his whole life as a Christian. And Paul said, over in 1 Corinthians, he said, everything is lawful for me. I can do whatever I want to do. But he said, in two different places, in 1 Corinthians 6 and again in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, everything is lawful for me, but not everything is helpful. And then in one of those passages, he follows it up by saying, not everything is edifying or is good for other people, encourages and builds up other people. In the other passage, he says, everything is lawful for me, not everything is helpful. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. So he's like, look, I'm not doing this because it's the law, because somebody told me I can't be a good Christian and do this. He goes, I could be a good Christian and do that. But my own personal choice, Paul would say, is, but I look at everything and go, what's this doing for me? How is this really helping me? And so if it doesn't help me, I don't need to do it because I don't want to be enslaved to anything and I want to be free to really encourage other people. Now, there are Christians who would say, you know, you need to, if you drink and you're a Christian, you're going to stumble people. There are going to be people who think, boy, I'd like to become a Christian, but look, there's a Christian who's drinking. I'm not going to become a Christian. That's so stupid. Have you, like, people who say that, I want to go, have you never met a non-Christian? I've never met a non-Christian in my life who, if they saw a Christian drinking, would go, ooh, I don't want to become a Christian. In fact, if they saw a Christian drinking, they might be, really? I can have a beer you know, after work, or I can drink a glass of wine at dinner and be a Christian. That was the one thing that was holding me back. But, you know, Paul would just go, I'm not suggesting evangelistic drinking. But if people notice that I don't drink, I try to make it clear. This isn't like a God thing with me. This is just, I just don't like the stuff, okay? And I have other reasons too that I'll talk about in a moment. But ultimately, the whole thing is, hey, you got to think about why you do what you do. Don't think you can't do it because somebody says so. But ask yourself, would this really be a positive thing in my life? And if you can do it in moderation and it adds a richness to your fellowship or to your own personal health or whatever it is, okay, but at least just ask the question, do I need to do this? One of the church traditions of Lent is to every year to give up something for a while. I think it's good for anyone to give up something for a while every year. If you want to know whether you are enslaved to alcohol, just give it up for a month. And if you can handle that okay, and you're not like craving it, you're not like just sitting there fast forwarding through the TV shows so you can watch the beer commercials, but you're just, just like, no, it's okay. Yeah, I miss it, but it's not a big deal. I did okay. It's always good for us. Some of us may need to give up TV for a while or desserts or, you know, other things that may consume our time just to know that we're not controlled by it. But also, we need to be honest. This isn't just an alcohol problem. This is a problem with anything to which we become addicted. Now, you may have a real strong view about alcohol, but how are you about caffeine? You know, Christian crack, they call it. So much of what, you know, the amount of money that we spend. I mean, come on, you guys are going to like Starbucks a few times a day and spending like $6 for a cup of mud. And it's like, again, it's easy for me to say because I don't like coffee, okay? You know, but at the same time, it's like everything. You know, caffeine, we should ask ourselves certainly about prescription medication. There are people whose lives are destroyed by an addiction to prescription medication. There are people who need prescription medication, but there's part of it that can sometimes suck us in and destroy us. We've all seen it happen. We all know, you know, as much as alcohol can destroy people, so can prescription meds. Does that mean you don't use prescription meds? Of course not. It means that you use good sense about it and make sure that you don't set yourself up for the kind of damage that it will eventually cause. I had a friend who the last 6 months of his life, the only thing that kept him going was morphine. And he was on morphine in heavier doses, but it allowed him to get up and go walk around his neighborhood and pray for people. It kept him going. And I was thankful for the ability that he had while under hospice care, that he had morphine to knock the pain down enough that he got a little bit more of life. But at the same time, there are plenty of people who abuse opioids and end up destroying their lives as a result. My experience with that, when I had neck surgery, when I came out of surgery, they had me hooked up with an IV and I had a morphine clicker. And I thought, cool, but you know, it's like legal, I'm just in bed anyway. But I just decided, I'm gonna see how long I can go without it. And so I went for like a day and a half, and I hadn't used it at all. And so then one day the nurse came in and unplugged my IV, and I'm like, wait, what are you doing? Oh, your doctor says you can go home. And I'm like, I didn't even try the morphine yet. Come on. But what is it that we get attached to? What is it that it could be medical marijuana, it could be prescription drugs, it could be sugar, it could be caffeine. All of these things are things that have their place, but man, if you have any of them in the extreme, they will wreck you. They will destroy you. And we just have to look at everything that's a part of our lives and just go, yeah, I mean, as a diabetic, you if you continue to eat sugar, you will die. But at the same time, hey, to have a cookie once in a while or something like that, you become more selective because you're like, I'm not going to eat a stale donut, you know? But man, you bring me a really fresh one and I haven't had one in a month, yeah, I'll do that, and then I'll make up for it. It's living life in a balanced way. It's realizing there are so many things in this world that can destroy me. And I want to get the most out of life. I don't want to be robbed of life. Legalism, by the way, makes it worse. There's no indication at all that people who raise their children by, you know, ranting against alcohol all the time and they're so self-righteous that it makes their kids not drink. In fact, studies would indicate that it has somewhat an opposite effect. If you're just so obsessed with it that you're talking about it, your kids can't wait to get out and try it. But there's also, you know, and we have to understand it, the use of alcohol certainly affects your stress in some way. And so sometimes by trying to escape one thing, you bring on a problem that's certainly greater. It's interesting that they found that in tests, drinking a glass of wine can relieve your stress. But generally, it only works for people who drink too much, alcoholics. And having more than one drink will increase your stress. So if you're like, just one glass of wine really relieves my stress, tests would indicate that that's probably psychological, because biologically, that only works for people who are drunks, basically. So, but it's there, and in moderation. Moderation's the key to everything. Everything in life is meant to not be overdone, but to do it, find the sweet spot where, hey, this works for me. I don't feel like I'm obsessed one way or the other. My life isn't dominated by substances. At the same time, I'm not paranoid of them. It's just moderation. And that always involves attention. In order to find a balance, there's weight on both ends of the scale. And so if you just go, this isn't a problem for me at all, I don't know, maybe you aren't finding a balance. Because if you're judging other people for what they do, it's kind of an indication that you're blind to something within yourself. But at the same time, if you're defensive, you're like, I'm never going back to that church again, because who says I can't have, hey, I didn't say you can't have a drink. I didn't say you can't be a fall-down drunk. I'm just telling you what the Bible says about how stupid that is. That's all. You know, that's what you want? Fine. But find a balance. Don't get weird one way or the other. Don't get obsessed. But also, there are a lot of decisions that we make about our lives that really aren't about a scripture verse. And I think it's important to say this, because a lot of times our reason to everyone, like if somebody goes, oh, you want a drink? Oh, no thanks, I don't drink. And then we go, because the Bible says don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's totally okay to not drink and not use a Bible verse as to why you don't drink. It may be that you look at your family and you see the pattern of abuse, and maybe you're concerned about having some genetic propensity toward an addiction. Or maybe you have seen the damage that's caused by it. I know for me, I've been there when people died because of people who were drunk and who drove drunk. I remember once in Costa Mesa down on Harbor Boulevard that I was just driving along and I saw an accident right after it happened. So I'm a chaplain, so I stopped to see if I could help. And I ended up holding a blanket up to block the view of a bunch of news reporters from taking pictures of this guy who's laying in a pool of blood, dead. And some drunk driver had jumped the island and had hit this guy's van. He was on his way to work as a chef at night. And in his van was a little picture of his little boy, and it had fallen down, and it's like floating in blood. And I'm looking at that for like an hour and a half. You think that made me go, I think I feel like having a drink. No, my reasons for not drinking go way beyond that. There are just some logical reasons why, for me personally, the idea of getting drunk is just sort of disgusting to me, because I've counseled so many families whose lives have been absolutely destroyed by it. And it's like, I don't make a big deal about alcohol, but at the same time, there's just something kind of sad about it to me. Over 100,000 deaths a year are credited to alcohol abuse. That's quite a few people. But when you look at the list of some of the people that have been stolen from us too soon, like, for instance, one of my favorite poets, the Welsh poet Dylan Thomas, at 39 years old. The great O. Henry, 47 years old. Alexander Gudinov, the ballet dancer and actor, so talented, 45 years old. The author F. Scott Fitzgerald at 44. The drummer for Led Zeppelin, John Bonham, at 32. the great soul singer Billie Holiday at 44, Jim Morrison of The Doors at 27, the incredible Amy Winehouse, 27 years old, one of the greatest country singers ever, Hank Williams, at the age of 29. I just look at just that little list, and I go, we've been robbed. Man, our culture, our world has just been robbed. What kind of blessings could be there had somebody been able to get to these people and just go, don't overdo this. You're stealing from your own life and from your family and the people around you and culture as a whole. What kind of amazing art could have been produced if these people had lived to be, you know, 70 or something? We're all being robbed by it. And as a result, it's just smart for us to look at it and go, that's something to think about. Again, I am not at all trying to influence what you do. I'm not trying to fix you. I go out to dinner, lunch with people all the time when they have a drink. Doesn't offend me at all. Doesn't bother me at all. And even people who like way overdo it, I'm just like, yeah, it's their choice. I don't beat them up over it. I look in a sad way with people whose lives are being actually damaged by the abuse of alcohol and other substances. It bumps me out to see people who are addicted to shopping or to food or to sugar or to anything else. But it's like, do you want the life that God has for you, the best life possible? Then at least ask yourself, is whatever activity or substance that is my escape, is it worth giving up what I might be losing, what I might never experience to the extent that it could? How is this really helping me? And that's something that I think we should all ask ourselves. And coming up on a holiday when it's so easy to get carried away, when people around you will be indulging, it's a good time for us to just go, what do I really want for my life? What kind of an example do I really want to set for my kids and for other people? Do I see them reproducing the same bad choices that I have made? And how can I help that? How can I do better? And for some of us, for every one of us, our substance of choice might be different. But if we are killing ourselves, we're not just killing ourselves. We affect and destroy other people's lives as well. And that's something we should really consider.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Let's return to Pastor Dave now as he leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, I love the way you've blessed us with so many cool things, and every good and perfect gift comes from you. We understand in the area of alcohol, this is something that you've designed and something that we will all partake in when we're in the kingdom, according to your word. And yet, it's also something that does a lot of damage when people can't keep it in balance, keep it under control. So Lord, for anyone here who their life could actually get better if they would drink less, I pray that you would give them the conviction, the discipline, the self-control, fill them with your spirit, and allow them to not allow a substance that can be good in the right perspective and the right amount to turn into something really negative in their lives. And no matter what it is, every one of us, we stand before you as people who are all addicted to certain things that are stealing from us. that are destroying us. Help us to just decide that there are some things in our lives that really just aren't helpful. They're really not worth it. And give us wisdom in that area. And for people who, Lord, are listening, who are really fighting and struggling with something that's already captured them, help them to know that there's hope in you, that you've forgiven them, that you just want the best for them. Help them to know that by partnering with you, they really can have victory. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
More lessons from Proverbs coming up tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my